The 1977 bestseller, The Complete Book of Running, begins with author Jim Fix's solemn purpose. First, to introduce you to the extraordinary world of running, and second, to change your life. With over 1 million copies sold, the book made Fix America's jogging guru, helping to launch a physical fitness revolution in the 1970s by popularizing the sport of running. Writing from personal experience, Fix championed the health benefits of jogging, how at age 35 he had started running, quit smoking, and lost 50 pounds. His expectation that such regular exercise considerably increased life expectancy inspired a healthy movement that created our modern fitness industry. So, the question remains, great taste or less filling? I'm Joel Rhodes, telling history. The 70s proliferation of joggers, health clubs, gyms, saunas, weightlifting, biking, home workouts, and group classes were decidedly healthy developments, but also symptomatic of a people obsessed with self-image, with roots deeply embedded in the narcissistic ethos of the me decade. As writer Tom Wolfe opined, millions of Americans spent those years indulging in an egocentric and self-absorbed celebration of me, remaking, as Wolfe said, remodeling, elevating, and polishing one's very self. Some reconfigured their lives around disco, sex, or self-actualization therapies. Others focused their energies wearing matching sweatsuits and terry cloth headbands. Jim Fix's Complete Book of Running extolled the psychological benefits of exercise as well, improved self-esteem and stress management. For Americans turned off by psychedelic drugs in the 60s, or cocaine in the disco culture, jogging promised its own natural runner's high. Now, prior to the 1970s, anyone running in the streets was probably being chased, and the only people exercising for fun were considered offbeat characters, or else school children competing for the President's Council on Physical Fitness. Footwear was canvas and uncushioned. By decades in, though, 30 million Americans ran without anything in pursuit, many in small groups, and increasingly wearing running shoes. Local clubs hosted 5 and 10K races. The New York Marathon started in 1970 with 127 runners, but by 1979 hosted tens of thousands. President Carter joined the trend the same year. A cover of People magazine featured Farrah Fawcett and Lee Majors jogging under the headline, "Everyone's Doing It." Nevertheless, in the textbook definition of irony, Fix ultimately died of a heart attack while running, slowly. The 1972 Boston Marathon opened the race to female competitors, reflecting the growing sense in the Title IX era that women were indeed athletes. Feminists urged sisters to embrace physical strength and competition. Billie Jean King promoted women's tennis. Aerobics and jazzercise classes and yoga practices flourished. The first sports bra, the jog bra, came out in 1978. And as gyms sprang up around the country, women were allowed to work out any time, not just on designated ladies' days. Health clubs were indeed the new singles bar. While Arnold Schwarzenegger introduced bodybuilding in the documentary Pumping Iron, thousands of Americans chose healthier, organic foods. Millions more turned to fad or crash diets. Which brings us to the story of light beer. To dethrone Budweiser, Miller marketed a low-calorie alternative to this fitness crowd, using masculine professional athletes and macho male celebrities. In a testament to the craze's commercialism, Miller doubled beer sales in just 2 years, before the king of beers countered with Bud Light.